Well, it's a profound truth that people are incomplete without God, lacking true peace and purpose. And it's also true that people want to live happy forever. And that's because we were designed for eternal joy, the joy of knowing and glorying in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which is, as Jesus tells us in John 17:3, eternal life. Some try to satisfy this longing with various aspects of this world. But as St. Augustine wrote, after much experience in his own life of trying to do just that, he said in a prayer to the Lord in the book, his Confessions, he said, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you." Nothing other than Christ will satisfy and suffice. As Jesus said, he is the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. And John tells us how to get this life in the passage for our sermon this morning. A passage that many of you probably even know by heart, at least part of it. John tells us how to get this life in John 3:16 through 18. And so I invite you, if you're able, would you please rise for the reading of God's word here from John 3:16 to 18. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. I want to go through this passage verse by verse. It opens, and John tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son." What amazing love to give such a gift of absolute infinite worth. The Father sent his only begotten Son. There's nothing greater to give. And this gift is of absolute infinite worth. And he gave, it says, "For God so loved the world." And the world there means the world, not so much in its extent. You know, it refers to all peoples of the world. But there's a special emphasis as well in this on the badness of the world, the darkness of the world in sin and rebellion against this God who gave this gift. And so one of the things that's so amazing about this gift is, of course, the absolute infinite worth of the gift, in that it is the Son of God, and that the Son of God was given not to a deserving world, not a world that was friends with God, but to a world undeserving and unworthy, at enmity with God. The Father gave his one and only Son to come and die for our sins and rise from the dead, so that all who receive him are forgiven and given eternal life. This is the gift of Christmas, an amazing gift of love. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And it is a gift. Don't get this wrong. We can't and don't earn it. We don't deserve it. We aren't worthy of it. We humbly receive it as sheer grace gift through faith in Christ. We didn't merit it. Christ came and lived the life that we failed to live and went to the cross to pay for our sins, our failure, our rebellion against God, and rose from the dead to give this gift of forgiveness and life to all who turn from their sins and turn to Christ in faith. It's not something that we deserve. Our record has a big F over it, but Christ's record is perfect. And he died for our sins and rose from the dead to give us this gift that we don't deserve. It is a gift. It's a gift of grace. Both the attitude, and you may as well have come across both of these attitudes, the attitude that says, "I can't have this gift because I could never measure up," reminds me of the guy who said that he thought becoming a Christian was like making it in the NBA. He said, "There's no way I could make it in the NBA. He said, there's nothing about me that is at that level that I could make it to the NBA and be that good. And he thought of Christianity this way, that he thought, I could never become a Christian because I'm not good enough. None of us is good enough. The point is that it's a gift of God's grace. We can't and couldn't deserve or earn it. This idea that it's something that we must become good enough to receive is actually counter to the gospel. The gospel is the good news that the Son of God came and lived the perfect life that we failed to live and died for our sins on the cross and rose from the dead in victory to give us this gift of forgiveness and eternal life through faith in him. So that attitude that says, I can't have it because I could never measure up. Of course, we could never measure up, but that's not the condition of us having the gift. Christ has already met the condition of earning it in our place. And so it's given through faith alone. The other attitude is on the sort of the other side of the spectrum, but really they're flip sides of the same coin. The other attitude is the one that says, I will measure up somehow to deserve it, at least in part. I'm going to measure up so that I make myself worthy to receive this gift, this attitude of self-righteousness. Both of those attitudes, the one that says I could never measure up, so there's no way that I could have this gift, and the one that says, well, I'm going to do something to earn this gift, both are really vain forms of self-centered pride and rejections of God's offer. Rather than coming in humility to receive his gift, they're both of the mindset that I must measure up somehow in order to be worthy of this gift. But the fact is, none of us are good enough to deserve it, no matter what we do. But Christ has been good enough for us. Good enough and more. He's entirely sufficient. And so the only way to receive this is as sheer gift. The gift that it is, given freely in love, paid for in full by Christ, the Son of God. And so let me ask, have you come to realize that God loves you? Unworthy and undeserving as you are, God loves you and offers you forgiveness and eternal life, a gift of his grace. By his grace, not by our deserving, not by our merit. I love hearing about people coming to Christ. Recently, I read about Daddy Yankee, a famous rapper. You may have heard of him. Might not be your genre of music, but a famous rapper from Puerto Rico. He recently turned to Christ. At a recent concert, he stood up and humbly said to the crowd, and I'm going to quote what he said here. He said, "For a long time, I tried to fill a void in my life that no one can fill. I was trying to fill it and find meaning in my life, but I was nothing without him. What good is it for a man to win the whole world if he loses his soul? Tonight, I recognize and am not ashamed to tell the whole world that Christ lives in me and that I will live for him. All the tools that I have in my possession, such as music, social networks, platforms, a microphone, everything that Jesus gave me is now for his kingdom." Close quote. He ended his show with a cross and the message, "Christ will come." And this man, Daddy Yankee, I forget his last name's Rodriguez, that's a stage name. This man, who was successful by worldly standards, came to see he was nothing without Jesus. That he hadn't, in fact, found true success, true meaning, true fulfillment, true peace. And that Jesus is the only one who can save and fill a person. And this as a gift of grace, not something that any of us can or do deserve, but something that in amazing love, amazing grace, God has given to all of us who trust in Jesus or will trust in Jesus. John continues in verse 16 and he says that whoever believes in, and let me just pause here and mention that word in is also translated into. Whoever believes in or into him should not perish but have eternal life. Perishing here, the counter of eternal life. So eternal, everlasting life as it was meant to be lived, here countered by perishing or eternal death, which is ultimately in hell, separated from God, paying for the sins that were not forgiven by Christ. And so John says, he says, see, it's the default. He says, whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. It's the default for fallen humanity to be in a state of guilt and condemnation because of sin. That's the default. Under the death sentence, bound to perish eternally. This is the sad reality for all who are outside of Christ. But because Christ came, there is a way out from under this penalty and to the Father. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So there is, this is the sad reality of all outside of Christ, this perishing, this eternal perishing and condemnation because of our sins. But for us who are in Christ, who have been forgiven of our sins, this is the way out from under this perishing. The way out is not and cannot be our own good works or efforts, our own achievements, or as some vainly seek today, technology to try to live forever. There's no hope in any of that. The only hope is in Christ. The only way out is Jesus Christ, who was crucified for our sins, raised in victory from the dead, triumphant over death, Satan, sin, and hell, and offers to all who will receive it forgiveness and eternal life. Christ is the only way out from the default human position in Adam of perishing. There's only two types of people that you'll meet in this world. Those who are in Adam, who remain in rebellion against God in their sins, not aligned with Christ. Their loyalty and allegiance is not to Christ. Their faith is not in Christ. They have not received his gift. And then those of us, by God's grace, who have received the gift of Christ that we didn't deserve, but that he won for us and has given to us to be received by faith. And so that we are now in Christ and have eternal life, have forgiveness. The only two types of people that you'll meet in this life are in those two categories. And the only way out from perishing is Jesus Christ, who was crucified for our sins and raised in victory from the dead. Received in humble, repentant trust. Believing into Christ is the means of receiving the gift of eternal life. Belief into Christ means personal faith in him. I like the Sunday school acronym FAITH, F-A-I-T-H, forsaking all, I take him. Forsaking my own efforts to try to get right with God on my own merits, forsaking my sin, forsaking any other allegiance than to the one true God and his salvation, forsaking all, I take him, Christ. It's a surrendered commitment to Christ as one Savior and Lord. As Martin Luther illustrated it, it means throwing yourself upon Christ, throwing yourself upon his mercy, upon him as your Savior, upon him as your Lord. It's a conversion, turning from sin, turning to Christ. And at that moment that a person trusts in Christ, he or she is forgiven and his or her eternal life begins. And at that moment, he or she is a new creation. And at that moment, God begins this work of bringing to completion what he has begun in us. So that those of us who have turned to Christ, who know him, we can say confidently, as Paul says in Philippians 1:6, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. At that moment begins the process of becoming more and more like Christ, not as the basis of our salvation, but as fruit of our salvation. And we have the solid, unshakable life from that point forward. You know, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We who believe in Christ have eternal life. Even now, it begins at the moment of conversion and goes on forever and ever and ever. And so this hope that we have, this reality of eternal life that we have as believers in Christ, it is as secure and sure for us, even now, and from the moment of our conversion, it's as sure and secure for us and in our lives as the fact that the Father already gave his Son. The Father gave his Son, which is what we celebrate at Christmas. What peace and joy there is in that. In that gift of eternal life. John goes on in verse 17 and he says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Christ came into our world on a mission of salvation, redemption, forgiveness, and grace. Rather than coming to give us the judgment we deserved for our sins, Christ came into the world to show us grace, to save us, to give his life for our sins that we would be forgiven. In Mark 10:45, Jesus says, "For even the Son of Man," referring to himself, "for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Christ came into the world on a mission of salvation, to give us freedom, to give us forgiveness, and to give us life. Charles Wesley, who wrote the famous Christmas song, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing," also wrote this, a hymn about coming alive to the amazing love of God. And the hymn is called "And Can It Be?" And I want to quote some from it. He writes this: "Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. Bold I approach the eternal throne, and claim the crown through Christ my own." This is what Christmas is about: the Father giving his Son in love to save us. John continues in verse 18. He says this. He says, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." Again, here we see that condemnation is the default of fallen, rebellious humanity. That's where we all start as sinners in this world. That's where we all start as rebels against God in this world. And that is the everlasting outcome for all who receive the gift of salvation in Christ and so die in their sins, bound for hell, paying for their own sins. That's what we deserve for our record and our sins. But Christ came and paid for our deliverance with his own life, then rose from the dead to give to all who would receive him as Savior and Lord the gift of forgiveness and eternal life. The default is condemnation. The gift is justification, acquittal, acceptance by God, now and forever. This forgiveness and eternal life is the gift of grace that God offers to us in his Son. And all of us who know Christ as Savior and Lord by faith, we have this gift. This is the gift that makes Christmas so amazing. And it's a gift that's on offer to the whole world before he returns in judgment and then gives everyone over to what they have, this hinge that their eternity turns on, the response to Christ, either receiving him unto eternal life or rejecting him unto eternal death. Our response to Christ is the hinge of our eternity. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. That apart from receiving the rescue in Christ, a person goes the way of their sins, the way of just judgment of their sins, which is hell. But God, because he loved us so amazingly, sent his Son as the answer and the only possible answer to give us salvation rather than condemnation for our sins. Our response to Christ truly is the hinge of our eternity. Jesus is the way to the Father. He is the truth and the life. So let me close by asking you, have you turned to him? The message is simple. Forgiveness of sins and eternal life is a gift of God's sheer grace, given on the basis of Christ's sacrifice, his perfect sacrifice, to all who turn from their sins and trust in him as Savior and Lord. As the angel declared to the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." He is the gift which having makes Christmas truly merry. So then, brothers and sisters, Merry Christmas. Father, we thank you for the amazing gift of your love, this gift that we didn't deserve, that we don't deserve by our own efforts, but that Christ has won for us, and that he has extended to all who turn from their sins and trust in him, who receive him. And Lord, we who trust in him and know the forgiveness and joy of eternal life in relationship with you, we thank you for that. We know it's not of our own doing, it's a gift of grace. And so we give you thanks and praise, and we thank you for the security, the peace, the hope, the love of yours, the acceptance that we have in Christ. And we do pray for all of those in this world who remain in their sins, who have not yet turned to Christ for forgiveness and for eternal life. Would you open their eyes to the light, that this quickening ray of light would shine into their hearts and lives, like Charles Wesley sung about, that you would open their eyes to see the Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, and so come to him for the gift of forgiveness and eternal life. And we who know your gift, we give you thanks and praise. It's nothing of our own doing. We give you thanks and praise. All the glory goes to you, and we thank you for this gift of Christmas, and we pray it in his name, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.